Haribo. It's a great pleasure for me to greet all of you for this special festival, the festival of Nityananda Trayodasi, his appearance day, and someone else has been born in that time, and that will be also celebrated. I would like to welcome also the guests who have come for the first time to this festival. We always feel during this festival a special, let us say, presence, a divine presence, which seems to connect us on a deeper level. I am also here greeting the internet audience. That's the internet computer program or camera. Good. Welcome, welcome. And I wish you really all the best during this festival. When I arrived here after driving for something like 8 hours from Berlin, some of you greeted me, and I shared with you at that time my own relationship, you could say, or appreciation of Lord Nityananda. You know, when God feels very, very compassionate, when he feels in his heart, I can't tolerate people, that people suffer in ignorance of me, when he really feels that feeling of unconditional mercy, that means a favor or mercy which is given without judging, is this person qualified or is he not qualified? No. When he feels like this, he becomes Nityananda. Nitya means eternal and Ananda means pleasure. We feel in this material world for sure some pleasure, but it's not eternal. In fact, we often suffer from this disease called anxiety, insecurity, not being sure about ourselves. When the wave of mercy comes, Nityananda, that all is washed away and we feel really bliss, eternal happiness. So during this festival, we all hope that all of you who have come, some of you have not yet arrived. I see you are looking everywhere. It's normal when you have a long journey behind you. I really wish that all of you will have some contact with this Nityananda, this eternal happiness or eternal bliss. Wouldn't that be a good result of visiting a festival? You know, from that moment on, I'm connected to Nityananda, eternal bliss. We have also one person here who is called Nityananda. He has the best name for the festival. It's just I don't see him. He's in the corner. Mr. Nityananda. Hare Krishna. So good. So let us sing a little, and then I would like to give my welcoming address. And afterwards I will request Gaura Hari. He is either here or is coming here to give us an orientation of the festival and how it is designed. So good.
So, Jayaradhamaya.
And Nityananda, are you responsible for microphones and all this? We have one talented violin player. Do you have an extra microphone?
We can arrange.
We can arrange, amazing. You just came from London and brought 20 extra microphones with you. Maybe someone then will hold Lila Sara, you are, I think, good in holding microphones.
Well, professionally you are a nurse, but...
In many ways, And it's good if we tune ourselves into the festival a little bit. So I request you, as you sing, to try to sing from a place where you can address the Lord. Sing for God. It will help you to come here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Beautiful Kirtan, no? This, it is somehow the English word, orchestral. It sounds like spherical, as if Kinaras, Gandharvas, Vidyadharas, all the heavenly beings have come together to praise Krishna. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prajarine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Askadyare Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare Hare
Hare Rama Hare Rama A little while ago, during the turn of the old year into the new year, we had here a Sangha Mela, a beautiful festival between the years, where we had a theme, prayer is the key to Krishna's heart. I think we would all agree that God's heart is like a wonderful treasure box. But sometimes we don't really feel in our lives that we get anything out from the treasure box. It seems to be far away from us, the divine treasures. But prayers, that is what we discussed at that time, is the key to Krishna's heart, to the treasure box in his heart. When you all left, you got a present. It was actually during the 12 o'clock in the night you had got this present. It was a prayer by Narottam Das Thakur, and attached to it, or bound to it, a key to remind you that you should pray. And I think many of you have done so. Today I would like to take one prayer from this prayers of Narottam Das Thakur and go through the content of the prayer in my welcoming address. We all feel extremely happy. I see our talented cook. Welcome. You somehow cannot leave Goloka Dham. You always welcome. I saw you in London a few weeks ago, and I didn't think you would be able to come, but welcome. So we have our cook here, so no problem for our maintenance and supply. Tirupati Gauranga Prabhu. Tirupati Gauranga. Yes. See, we all have come together, and I think there is one question which should always be present in the life of a good disciple. This one question, I think, should be the motto of our festival. Because in a way we meet here also to learn more about this most difficult relationship, the guru-disciple relationship. It is said by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur that this is one inconceivable subject. It is something which you cannot so easily understand. It's something mysterious almost. Yes, and there should be a question which brings the relationship alive. I know that some of you who are here have other spiritual masters, and I know that some of you who are here are not really committed as of yet to a guru-disciple relationship. Whoever you are, wherever you are in relationship to the question of guru, whatever is your opinion, I think it will help you very much to understand this one question which should never die. It's a question which energizes the relationship, but it also energizes your life. The question is, what are my next steps? Or if you like to take things in smaller bites, so to say, you can also do it in the singular number. What is my next step? And how can I take this next step in my life? as when you approach life with this question, what is my next step and how can I take it? If you approach the guru-disciple relationship with this question, what is my next step and how can I take it? You will fulfill one of the big needs for a spiritual person. One of the two big needs. All of you are spiritual people. We don't have a single materialist amongst us here, at least not formally. We should know we have two, as spiritual people, two big needs. If they are fulfilled, our spiritual life is really going well. If they are not fulfilled, then we are missing something. The two needs of every spiritual person is he needs to grow, to make progress, to advance, to be able to, you know, leave the lower self a little bit more behind and come to a little bit closer to the higher self. That's a need. We feel happy when we become closer to our higher self and to Krishna, of course. And we feel, we stagnate. Oof, we don't feel so energized. No? Is it true? Is it not true? Sounds true, no? The second spiritual need is of a spiritual person is he feels my life is only valuable if I can contribute to the well-being of others, contribute to the well-being of planet Earth, maybe. If I'm not just so selfish to take care of my own advancement, but no, I want to be helpful for others. If you have not yet fulfilled that need, try it and you will see how blissful you become when you can really contribute to the life of others. It's a feeling, oh, like eating after a long, long time of fasting. Very relief-giving. So, for all these needs, you can ask the question, what is my next step? No? So that you can grow, advance, progress, move forward, not remain stuck in one place, not end your journey. And the second is see how you can be of use for others' well-being. Very, very important principles of spiritual life and of Krishna consciousness. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he made it very clear. He said, I only want two things of you. Become Krishna conscious and spread Krishna consciousness through the world. Huh? Making personal advancement and contributing to others. This is a very, he understood these two needs, of course, very, very, I mean, he preached these two needs or brought these two needs to our attention. When you want to advance or when you in your life and move forward, you need usually an encouraging environment that encourages you. Yes, you can move forward. It is you are not hopeless. When you are alone, isn't it, or in your own environment, sometimes you don't get this impulse that yes, you can move forward and you can move on. You miss maybe this impulse and so on. But if you have this inspiration in your life, you will most probably get it from others, from devotees. See, there is something which you need to know about human nature. It is only through the you that I become I. What does this mean? Can you please be more concrete? Yes, in a moment, but let me first repeat it. Through the you, I become I. This is not my own sentence. It is from Martin Buber, but he expressed in one sentence very much the effect of sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha means to have association. You are addressed by the others in a way that shows your possibilities. Let me explain a little bit. Say you are a child, a baby, and your mother sees you and addresses you. Oh, my darling little boy. Oh, my darling little girl. No? And then through your mother, you learn so many things. You learn language. You learn certain values. You learn the do's and the don'ts, and you become a human being. If you would have a wolf mother, you could be a human embryo, but you would become a wolf. Do you know this? In the past, I told you a little bit about the two wolf girls of Bengal. Remember, there was a poor mother who put this her little girl on the steps of the Christian mission because she could not feed the girl. She was so poor, she couldn't give her. But somehow the Christian priest was not in the Christian mission, and that little girl remained lying, quack, 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 on the steps of the mission. And a wolf found her, and somehow, I mean, she must have had some piece of cloth, grabbed her by the cloth, and carried her to the wolf's pack. The Wolf, die Horde, sagt man, glaube ich. And there, the little girl was addressed by wolf. So later, that priest who was not there was just walking through the forest and all of a sudden saw a little girl with a wolf's, you know, she was making wolf sounds. I do not know how wolves speak to each other. Maybe like and various variations of this. And he could also see the girl when seeing him, and he was not moving away, started to run away on all her four legs. And he met this girl a few times in the forest, and totally untypical for young girls, she had thick hair on her chest. No human being has that thick hair. Men have some hair on the chest, but not like wolves, you know. And ladies are without hair. I do not know. I have not looked very closely. But we human beings are not like wolves, you know. We have a different constitution and so on. So, but this girl looked like a wolf, moved like a wolf, spoke or cried like a wolf. And when there was full moon, like in a few days, you will see the full moon. Maybe it is quickly coming because Lord Nityananda, when is Nityananda's Trayodashi? Tomorrow already. Tomorrow the moon should be a full moon. You can look at this normally. I mean, it's supposed to be like this. The little girl, the girl howled, Then later another girl was also put, and this girl joined the was also captured by the wolves and so on. And when the girls were brought by the priest into the Christian mission to be educated as humans, do you know what happened to them? They both died. One died very quickly after 2 weeks, and another after 3 months. Because you become what you are through association. I become I through you. That's how powerful association is. Can you understand from how we, like now you are all Hare Krishna Hare Ramas. Why? You have values. Why? In association this has happened to you. I remember when I met my old friends and this, and we talked, and after half an hour, Knut Fleckenstein, he was one of my best friends, Knut Fleckenstein. You can Google him, he's a politician now. I'm not a monk, because I had other association. He said, you have become something else. I said, I'm proud of it. It happened in the association. Association, if you want to, if you are into science and so on, spiritual science, it happens. It influences you on a deeper level, the heart level, the heart chakra level. It's a certain energy field within the body, and that is somehow the energy changes by sangha, by association. We don't speak of casual association or Facebook association or hello, how are you doing? No worries, man. Not that type of association, but deeper association, which has a more content to it, and where you give something of your heart. So Narottamdas Thakur makes a nice point. He says, in this world, there is only one spiritual wealth. That is the lotus feet of the devotees. He says, if you obtain association with devotees, Krishna will never give you up. Anyone who stays in some ways connected with devotees, it may not, it doesn't mean necessary to live with them in a on the same project, like a temple or a farm community or any other community. But anyone who has association with devotees is never given up by Krishna. It just doesn't happen that Krishna turns the face away. I think, Gunya Bihari, I have this wonderful warm jacket. You can open it more, because then it's easier for devotees to stay happy, and with oxygen it is much more better. He says, Vaishnavas are the greatest wealth in the world. Oh brother, oh sister, please listen with fixed attention. Sri Krishna never leaves one who has taken shelter of devotees and lovingly serves him. Then he says, all others die needlessly. Oops. So, my dear devotees, this is a festival of devotees. This is a festival where we come together. Outside the lectures, I request you to talk to each other about the experiences which you have made so far on your spiritual journey, to share happily, to ask questions of each other, and try to see this treasure unfolding on you. This is very, very good. We don't just turn to God on this festival, Nityananda. We turn to also to his devotees, and we want that this goes on. The Bhagavatam gives us an instruction in the 11th canto. Those who like to read it on their own, it's in the 3rd chapter, verse 30. 11:30. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord. You know, it's something you need to learn. Most of us have not yet learned to associate on the spiritual platform with each other. So you need to learn it. One should learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord by gathering with them, coming together with them to discuss about Krishna and chant the glories. And he says, it's Shukadev Goswami who says, when you do this, when you associate with this spiritual sangha, at that time you will feel happiness in your heart and some satisfaction. You will give up. Devotees can encourage each other, and they will say, I have given up this sense gratification yesterday. And wow, you have given up that sense gratification yesterday. Yes, it's possible, at least for a day. And then, oh yes, we will say, I will also give up this nonsense. And so on. No? This is how devotees encourage each other. I have given up this illusion. I'm now fixed on my path. Really? And then something comes in us. My dear devotees, Krishna is pleased when you learn to associate properly, and as a result, he takes away from your life those aspects and items which are inauspicious. He makes your life auspicious. Krishna always carries for you, and he will never leave you if you can learn to associate properly. One should learn. This is a very, very important point. Narottamdas Thakur gives some amazing ways how we can associate, you know, how to make this possible. And you will see, they are really ancient ways. He says one should drink the water which has washed the lotus feet of the devotee. Now I can imagine if we would all grab Govindanandan, he would not really agree to do this without force. And Jai Gopal, who has experience in martial arts, would hold his feet, and Radhika Ranjan will sing raga, and then wash Govindanandan's lotus feet. And then we would put it out next to Prasadam, and we would say, this is the Charanamrita of Govindanandan. I don't know how many people would participate in drinking it. I would maybe be one of the two who would drink that water. So it may not be totally practical, isn't it? But this is what he says. And we should take the dust. Okay, it's not so extreme, the dust. And in old times, the sangha or association of devotees was really doing such things. And I still have a bottle. It's my greatest treasure. which has the water, it's diluted with the homeopathic doses of 1,000 associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a festival, and the organizer of the festival, I believe it was Rasikananda Thakur, he had this ceremony. All the devotees who came, they were, when they came, their feet were washed because they're full of dust, you know, and for refreshment. And then what was mixed, and then over, it's now a few hundred years, it was again and again, water was added, and devotees from all over the world have these bottles. It is, I will not tell you where I keep it, because you might, you might rob it. Because we feel, well, these great devotees, you know, and so on. But there is, in fact, an uncle of Raghunath Das Goswami. His name was Kalidas, who would do this, my dear devotees. He would every day have a plan to somehow either take the food remnants or the dust or the water which had washed the lotus feet of the devotees. His name was Kalidas. I think many of you know. He would sometimes strategically plan how to get these items, because the devotees were not in favor of allowing him to take this. Now, when he came to Jagannath Puri, there was a festival going on, and one part of the festival was all the devotees went with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in one temple, the Gambira Mandir, Gundicha Mandir, and there Lord Chaitanya would, you know, he would guide the devotees to wash the temples. It was symbolic for washing the heart. They would all, great souls, would take buckets and wash the temples. And during this time, this episode happened. One devotee was pouring water over the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And who was there drinking? Kalidas. Who else than Kalidas? And he drank. Lord Chaitanya saw it, and he had forbidden every devotee who would ever think of doing such a thing as drinking the water. I think you would also not willingly agree that this is done to you, no? No, and you know how to run, I think, very fast from your handball career, so it would be difficult. So Lord Chaitanya had forbidden this. No one should ever drink the water. I don't want this. This time he looked, and then he said, Kalidas, it's enough. Now it's enough. You know. But he allowed him to drink for some time. Because, see, this is not about foot washing or dust or anything. It's about a certain spirit to serve the devotees. And although we may not keep these ways, you know, like drinking the water and so on, the spirit must be attained. And that is what is so essential in Krishna consciousness. Things change, but the spirit should be maintained. If you are attached only to the outer ways, you mistake culture for spiritual essence. And that is very sad, because culture cannot nourish you spiritually. Only the spiritual essence can. If you only are in Krishna consciousness because, there are dotis and there is a special hairstyle. I see many of you develop creative ways of hairstyles which are amazing. No one could think that this exists without others breaking down in laughter 10 years ago, but now it's good, you know. So you develop these things that can change. Yes, be free, you know. The culture is not essential. What is essential is the spirit, the essence. And I see so many people are lost in external discussions. Should devotees have birds or no? Should they have sunburns? No, sideburns or no? You know, are they allowed to speak to Siri or no? You know, two ladies, how do they wear the sari? You know, long discussions. Should this, this is not the essence. That's a cultural details. Every grown up person should be able to decide on these things on his own. But the spirit is important. And the spirit is Vaishnavas, or devotees are special. And if I serve them, Krishna apparently is very satisfied so that he does not leave the devotees. No? That's the spirit. Very important. So I wanted to sing to you today this beautiful song. Gokrishna has, I think, distributed the song sheet, Vaishnava Mahima. Do you have it? You can group together, five of you or three of you can read it, and we will sing this because I want to welcome you, not just in a place, Goloka Dham. I would like to welcome you to the association of devotees.
Thank you. Bye. I'm sorry.
Krishna, Krishna.
I thought the last two verses especially mentionable. It says the purifying power of the waters at the various holy places of pilgrimage is described in the Puranas, although this is something of a deceptive trick. Let me see in the other translation if this how they translate it here. The sacred water of the holy places is described in the Puranas, but they all cheat one of pure devotion. You know, you always hear the Puranas, take your bath in the Ganga, take your bath at Kaveri, at Namada, at other holy places. I would say in Christian theology, go to you know, there's the Jordan, you know, the holy river was also there. But do they really give you what is most important, that is pure devotion? No. The water from holy places cannot compare to the water that has washed the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, which fulfills all desires. In other words, it describes here that, yes, the association with devotees gives you so much more benefit. Why? Well, the last verse says it. In the association of the Vaishnavas, where topics of Krishna are always spoken, one feels bliss at every moment. If you don't feel bliss at every moment, then soon you will feel bliss at every moment. With an agitated heart, Narottam Das Thakur weeps, why have I been separated from the Vaishnavas? So, I'm emphasizing this point because I have noted that many of you sometimes, at least you tell it to me, become discouraged in your life. You ask yourself the question, will Krishna ever speak to me? This is a big, big subject matter for all spiritual people. There is even a movie about it, The Silence of God, something like this. I do not know in great detail, but it is something about the silence of God, you know, that yes, so many worshippers in so many religions are constantly talking to him, but he seems to be silent. He does not respond. One of Krishna's great devotees, Akrura, was dealing with this. He said, I'm so fallen. But still, although I'm so fallen, I'm approaching you, Krishna. I know that someone who's impure like me can never attain you. However, if you bestow your mercy upon me, then everything is possible. So Krishna says, well, you say you are so fallen, you say you are so insignificant, how will I give my mercy to you? You will remain fallen and offensive, you know, why should I give my mercy to you? And then Akrura replies, oh lotus naveled one, when one stays with devotees and worships you with devotees, then consciousness of you develops. And then one receives your causeless mercy. So when one comes in contact with devotees, my dear devotees, and has learns this art, one should learn how to associate with them. One should learn a few things. You have to learn the six languages of devotee talk, you know. You should give them presents and receive presents. More than anything, you should talk about essential things. You know, open your heart to like-minded devotees. Not everyone. Some will say, I don't understand you. You have to find the like-minded devotees. No? Now, open your heart and listen to them, what they can advise, what they can share with you. And the last thing is very simple. It is to give them some prasadam and accept prasadam. We have Tirupati Gauranga Prabhu. There will be a lot of prasadam accepting you. That helps you to awaken your Krishna consciousness. Yes, yes, yes. These are the six languages you need to learn. Especially, I think, this language of how do I talk with them about spiritual things. Then the mercy of Krishna is no longer far. It is very close. I have seen this, that Krishna's mercy comes with the association of devotees. I spoke to a very dear God brother who has deeply influenced and elevated me, tried at least to elevate me in Krishna consciousness. We had today lunch, and I asked this devotee, how did you come to such a level of Krishna consciousness? How did you come to Krishna consciousness in the first place? And he said, you know, I lived in a commune. Communal life at that time meant everything which we don't do. Basically an attempt to satisfy the material senses together with other people, a group dedicated to material enjoyment usually. So I lived there, and then one day I met a devotee who said before the Repaban, now you don't know what is Repaban, it's where all the sailors of the world come in Hamburg, where there is free Sanskritification, there's Sanskritification like anything. I know we went every Saturday and did kirtan at the Repaban, and we would see men and women coming to the men and women for a night, you know, coming to the windows, not properly dressed, and greeting us or throwing flower pots at us, because we were very loud and might have disturbed them. So this devotee was sitting there, Hamburg's Vergnügungsviertel, sagt man in Deutsch, the enjoyment place in Hamburg. And he was doing kirtan, and the devotee, this my god brother who was living his life in the commune, that was standing there, and he felt some strange feeling of I know this attracts me, something like home. Have you also felt this? Mm-hmm. There was no reason to feel home. They were dressed differently, they had different haircuts than you, they had a different language, they said Haribol. What's that, you know? I remember the first time I came to the devotees, I saw they all had this bag, and then when they saw themselves, They went to the ground, and I thought it must be an amazing mind opening drug which they have in this bag, and when something falls out of the bag, then they try to assist each other in helping the lost item, and that's why they go down and inspect the ground really close. Only later I did learn this is a bee bag where they have the holy beads in it. When they pay down, when they go down, they don't look at something at the floor, but they bow down to each other. So it's a different culture altogether, and you're bound to have misunderstandings when you see the world. How do you feel at home? From where does this feeling come to be at home? It is coming from being spiritually attracted and spiritually addressed and spiritually satisfied. So he felt that when he saw this pioneer of Krishna consciousness sitting at the Repaban before the, you know, at the entry of the Repaban and chanting. And then a little later, something happened. He had felt some sympathy for the devotee, someone who had just left the process of Krishna consciousness, left the temple. You would say in your language, he had blooped. He had come and looked for a room in the commune, which he got. And there he began to cook for everyone and offer the food. And he would not participate in what the commune was doing. He would just be, my god brother said, a Ruhepol, a place of peace would emanate from him. And he became very attracted and then to this person, and then this person said, you know, he had really only apparently left the devotees externally. He had long hair and a beard and all this. He said, let's go to the temple. And he took the whole commune to the temple. And my godbrother never actually, he came a few times to the temple and then he stayed at the temple. And he's still in his old age. He's much more than 70 years, not much, he's little more than 70 years old. An old elderly man, you see, more gray hair than other hairs. He stayed because, and he is now actively spreading this all over the world in very responsible ways, in responsible positions, and so on. This is amazing. This came by the association of that devotee who sat at the beginning of the Repaban, the street of sin in Hamburg. I mean, those who are from Hamburg, Repaban is not the place where a spiritual person would like to go on his own. But he sat there, and this is how his spiritual life changed. So Krishna says, when will you get my mercy, Akura? And Akura replies, O lotus-naveled one, when one is kind to your devotees, consciousness of you develops. No? And then soon the material life of a person is finished. Yes. So don't think Krishna is silent. He answers to your prayers, but he may answer in a way which you are not aware of. He answers by sending devotees in your life. Our main problem is that we do not understand the answer of God. The answer is good devotees who speak to you, who are honest, who talk to you about what is good for you to know, and then you can move on. So, yes, we worship God. We worship Lord Nityananda. But let us also join the Sadhu Sangha and learn how to associate with the devotees of the Lord. About Lord Nityananda, well, that's the subject matter for tomorrow, but Nityananda. Nityananda, as I said in the beginning, Guru Tattva is one of the tattvas which are most difficult to understand. Do you want to understand another subject? Want to know what is another subject very difficult to understand?
Yes.
Jiva Tattva, the knowledge of the living entity. Still in ISKCON, we are writing papers and counter papers how to understand how the jiva fell from the spiritual world. It's very difficult to understand. I don't know if papers will help, but we can try. It's very, very difficult to understand. Now, Lord Nityananda. He is painted here in an understandable way. He has not one, he has not two earrings, he has only one earring. If you would meet him, he would most probably dance and shout, "Gaura, Gaura!" And then a moment later, he would fall on the ground and roar in ecstasy. Pure, unedited, ununderstandable ecstasy. When he was asked to carry the danda of Chaitanya after he had taken the sacred order of sannyas, do you know what he did with the danda? Broke it in how many places?
Three
places. That's not what you do when you carry a sacred item. You break it. He is beyond everything we ever thought. And I was born on his day. Dangerous company. He had another reason. He wants to bring us to the essence. He breaks the form, all forms. Because as long as you stay with the form, you cannot advance. You stay with the material thing. You have to come to the essence. And the essence is love. Love of God. That's what he preaches. He is what is called an avaduta personality. He behaved like an avaduta. But when a person beyond the Vedic rules and regulations, but when he spoke, it was the Vedas pure. The many contradictions. Isn't spiritual life always different than you thought? Have you noticed that already? You thought one way in Krishna consciousness, then another thing happened. If it wouldn't surprise you, it's not God. So, we will hear a little bit about Nityananda, but I will carefully talk the understandable things. Because we need to first have a sambandha, a connection. But you know, there is life, spiritual life, beyond the patterns of our own understandings and so on. But please don't be afraid of Nityananda. He's so kind that he does, when he looks, he cannot see disqualification. When a person is not so elevated, he looks at another person and sees only what they do bad. Do you know, have you seen such people? They only seem to see the bad things about someone else. When someone is more advanced, he sees the good qualities. No, he sees the bad qualities, but also the good qualities. But he chooses to emphasize the bad qualities. When he is a little more advanced, a person sees the good and the bad qualities, and he chooses to only focus on the good qualities. That's already very high. But do you know, when someone is very high, inconceivably high, he does not see the bad qualities any longer. Just like the person on the lowest point only seems to see the bad qualities, the person on the highest point only sees the good qualities. And this is Lord Nityananda. He doesn't see. You might say, but I'm fallen. Lord Nityananda will say, Hari Bol, take the name of God. He will not even pay attention to this. And that is so that he showed, really. You know, there were these two high-ranking police officers. They were called Kotawal in Navadvip. They were in the highest governmental position under the Khatsi, and they were very, very bad people. They were constantly drunken, they were constantly intoxicated, yes, and they were cruel. They liked to beat people and see them crying. They liked to see blood. They always fought, and no one could do anything because they were the highest position in Navadvip, underneath the Khatsi. The Khatsi didn't care. You know, they were born in as brahmanas, and he said, let them do as long as there is no rebellion against our government, they can do whatever they do want. So these two are known as Jagai and Madai, and they attacked, even one of them attacked even Lord Nityananda. But Lord Nityananda didn't even notice that. He still kept asking them to take the name of Krishna. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in order to punish Madai, Lord Nityananda said, please don't punish him. Otherwise, you have to punish so many other people also. Give them your mercy. And on Lord Nityananda's request, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this. This is a famous example. So we celebrate tomorrow the appearance of this personality, Krishna. I want to end the program here, not the program, the talk here. We have a little time. But now see if there are questions or anything from the audience, so that we have a little group participation in this. But I'm very happy that you have come. Thank you so much. I'm also surprised that it's so full. It's not even started. But actually tomorrow, yes, we have to be here today, because tomorrow there will be something amazing happening. So good. Any questions which you have, anything which is in your mind at this stage, please speak. Krishna. Yeah. Ananta Gauranga. Hare Krishna. Yes, Yogesh. Yogesh.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
You mentioned that I'm just for my glasses on. What are my next steps in spiritual progress? Can you give us some guidance on how to establish?
Yeah, wonderful question. Have you all, I think we will ask Yogesh to repeat his question, yeah? In the microphone, then everyone can hear.
Mm-hmm. Maharaj, I was asking your advice on, you mentioned that very important for spiritual growth to establish what are one's next steps. Could you please guide us, give us some guidance on how to establish that for oneself?
Yeah. It's a very good question. I said this is the question which should never die in the heart of a disciple or in a devotee who is dedicated to spiritual life. No? What is the next step? Because we will always, as long as we are here in this material world, this is our huge opportunity to realize the full spiritual potential, and that's never reached. Someone who says, I've reached now the end, he will stagnate there. So a devotee is curious to know. I think I will ask Kunyabihari to open the window again. This window is not opening, or is it? We are so many, it's good if we have from time to time a fresh guest. I think the most, before you can ask this question, what is my next step, you must ask another question. What do I think should be my next step? Let me put it more clear. You have to say, many devotees, when you tell them, what are you doing? Why are you doing what you do? Then I think this is the right way. I should do like this. But have you ever thought that it's possible that Krishna might ask you, what do you want to do? Not what do you think you should do? It's very important. Many of us live in the world of I should, because I think this is the correct thing. And they are always in conflict with what they want. For them, spiritual life is miserable and dutiful. For those who know I want to do this for Krishna, spiritual life is ecstatic and blissful. For those who think I think I should follow this order of my spiritual master, how long do you think they can do it? They can do it as long as their willpower is there. But willpower wanes. Wills leave us. Like muscle power. You can only do something on muscle strength for some time. So you need to see, what do I want to do in relationship to Krishna, of course. Not just in relationship to the senses. In relationship to the higher self. We speak about spiritual life, no? Not material life. So what do I want to do in relationship to Krishna? Not what do I think I should do. Prabhupada was asked what he wants to do. He said, I want to make everyone happy. He did not want to make everyone into should devotees. I should do this. Everyone, after some time, cannot continue like this. So before you ask, what is my next step, you need to be clear and make a distinction between what you want to do in relationship to Krishna, what your direction should be, what should be, what you want the direction in your life to take. That's very, very important. You cannot advance and progress very, very much in the should world, but you can advance unlimitedly in the want world. Unlimited. So that's the first thing. What do you want to do for Krishna? I know that Prabhupada always encouraged us. I want to open a temple in such and such town. Go, go, go with my blessings, you know. Someone wanted to do business, spiritual sky, do spiritual sky business. He would encourage, but for Krishna, no? Do this for Krishna. And he would always encourage this. In the beginning, before someone can get the spirit of Krishna consciousness, I agree, he should orient himself or herself a little. What is this new world? You know, I don't know. Then find your mission, the mission which is where you feel a glowing yes, and do that for Krishna. Very important. Then, after having identified this question, there are a few other things, but now I will leave it here because that's the subject of one of the last classes. I have a surprising program for you. It's called Message to My Disciples. Then there I will talk about this and more things. You will be surprised. And it's really inspiring, I think. You know. Yes, but Guru Maharaj, I don't know what I want. Come to the class where you can find out what you really want. It's a message to the disciples. I don't know when it is. I can't give away all the surprises now. I have a quotation from Prabhupada where he really tells us how to find out what is really essential, how we can recover our full enthusiasm, our glowing yes. Oops. It's becoming a little affectionate and leaning towards me. Hari Syam from Chicago. Microphone we require. Hari Syam from Chicago. Hari Syam is opening an amazing center, and he has, with a team of non-builders, that means devotees, built the place. It was an old house, and now it must look like a palace.
In your class today, you spoke about the transformative power of association, how we reflect our association, we become what we associate with, who we associate with. And this morning in the lecture, you quoted this very enigmatic verse from the Madhava Mahotsava saying, the devotee should learn to work together, keeping prema as their goal. And in my little head, I'm feeling that I need to make a change in how I socialize with devotees. I feel that most of my time I discuss good thoughts like strategies and new ideas and exciting projects. What does it mean? How should I change how I socialize with devotees in such a way that I can practically learn to work with devotees and live with devotees, keeping prema as the goal, as this verse is instructing us to do? And especially because, as you point out, association is such an important factor in our spiritual life.
Thank you very much for this question. I have two sets of eyes. These are my darshan glasses. When I put them on, I can see each one of you. I can see everything on you. Each gray hair, everything, you know. When I don't have them on, you are safe. These are for books, but I sometimes trick you because I have a third set of eyes, which I'm discussing this with a very nice devotee who's here with us, intuition. And that's the strongest eye set of eyes that one can train over many years. So I can, better than with this glasses or this glasses, I can see with the inner eyes. That's very strong. Sometimes one makes mistakes, yes, but mostly not. One has to train it over many years. So now you're safe. I will just find the exact quote which Hari Syam has said. So the quote Hari Syam refers to is, although one usually wants to do things on his own when one wishes to attain a certain goal, those who aspire for prema, that means full Krishna consciousness, accept dependence on others with similar goals and tastes. Oops. Thus cooperating with each other, they work together, keeping in mind the goal of prema. Yeah. So, if we have learned to, when it comes to the goal, yes, we may take advices from others, but we really don't make ourselves dependent on others. We say, I'm making the decision here, how to move forward. Not so in spiritual life when you want to get prema. This is from Jiva Goswami. It's Mahotsava, Madhava Mahotsava. And now, you say you often socialize with devotees or keep normal subjects with devotees. I have learned, I'm learning at the moment very much I'm extremely curious. I find out that some devotees need to talk about daily things. Otherwise, they feel strange. I have found this out. They feel just not cared for. They will say, oh, we are living with a cold ice block. These ice blocks are called sadhus. So you will have to talk in the interest of the devotees about things. You have to show your human side very much. Joke maybe about jokes which are not too deep, which are a little, But at the same time, you should never give yourself up, because then they would not feel happy with you either. Because the devotees want to see sadhus which have a human side, which can laugh and jump around and do things. But they like also sadhus, someone who gives a spiritual input. So you have to always see when you want to communicate or associate on what level they are, and then you have to dose what you do accordingly. Therefore, Rupa Goswami advises us when he says to associate with devotees, he says like-minded devotees. There you can talk about Krishna and chant about Krishna. They have the same interest. If they don't have the same interest as of yet, then you must find out to talk about spiritual things, maybe on a way they can accept it. Maybe Krishna in the daily news, or Krishna in a movie, or things like that. Very, very important that you, because yes, devotees on all levels are dear to Krishna, and we should always talk with them as it needs. This I have learned here in the project. The moment I'm associating with very high level devotees, but here I have noticed so many come in Goloka Dham, and there you have to really be sensitive to them. And when you want to talk about things which really matter to you, you can do it with like-minded devotees. Mm. Imagine you come now back to Chicago. Okay, the Bhagavatam says one should learn to associate with devotees. My dear devotees, when Akrura went into Vrindavan, the deer passed him on the left side. Do you know what it means that they passed him on the left side? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the reason why the And do you know that Nityananda and Radha Krishna Leela is Ananga Manjari? Yes, Manjari is on. Do you know about Bhavalosala Bhava? I was young, what happened to you in Germany? You know. Then you can say, oh, the festival was amazing. And then the next adjective. It was foul. Oh, yes. Next word. It was awesome. Really awesome. You know, and then explain why it was amazing, awesome, and whatever. You know, that is, it's important. You need to learn these things. And then when you meet your Jai Jagannath, you can talk about all the things, you know. And try to bring Krishna inside as much as it is possible. Thank you. Otherwise, it would be arrogant on your side. So, anyone else? Then I think Gaurahari will say something. Yes, oh good, we don't have a time for another question, because soon the Abhishek ceremony will start, where we will do an Adivas. I thank you all very much, and Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.